Tyre and Sidon, ministering there. He met the Syrophoenician woman who had a sick child, who brought the child to Jesus, and he healed her, and healed her daughter, and it was just a great testimony to her faith and the fact that the gospel is to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. Now Jesus comes back from that trip, from the north to the north of Israel, back to the region to the east and below the Sea of Galilee, known as the Decapolis. When you come to that name, Decapolis, know that it is a region and not one place. It literally means 10 cities. And it's 10 Roman cities that were built just before the time of Christ, a thriving area, mixed Jewish and Gentile cities. And Jesus spends the middle portion of his ministry mainly in that area. So this is where Jesus is, his location, when he comes back to Israel. Give your attention to the Word of God as I read it, beginning in verse 31. Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of the Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment. And they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. And he looked, and looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one, but the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, "He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak." Father, thank you for your written word that we have read this morning and heard. We pray for its exposition to speak to our hearts the truth that we need to hear this morning. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus ministered to the crowd as well as to individuals. He is and was then and is now the great physician. That's why we bring the sick in prayer to Jesus. When you face an impossible medical condition, a besetting medical condition, we do different things. Often we bring these things to the Lord in prayer as a last resort. When I face these sorts of things in my own family and when I'm dealing with parishioners, I do what every doctor hates to hear. I read it on the internet. And I start looking for a solution and a cure and do my research. And I think most of you are probably do the same, especially when it comes to something that is hard and difficult. They're not here, so I'm going to use them as an example. The Pursleys, Dal and Joanne, dear friends of this church, members of this church for many years, who were moved back here from Pennsylvania after Dal's teaching career. Joanne faced a diagnosis several weeks ago of tumors in her brain. Very difficult tumors that had a difficult treatment, and they had gone on the internet and they had researched what the best place was to find out, and they found out that there was a seminar just happened to be held in Cambridge, Massachusetts that following week, and Joanne, being a former airline stewardess, was able to get on flights to prepare to go immediately to that conference. And on the way out of church, they heard from one of our fine physicians here that the very best person for that particular type of tumor was formerly at UAMS. And in fact, was one of the organizers of this particular seminar. They went from Little Rock after having further exams to Massachusetts, to Brigham and Women's Hospital in Boston, Massachusetts. And at that facility, they met these doctors and within 2 days had scheduled her surgery and had a miraculous outcome of the surgery. Joanne will need great care and rehabilitation, but it could not have gone better. They truly feel that the Lord's the prayers of God's people and the Lord's intervention through providence have brought about an incredible outcome for them. A situation that had seemed impossible just a few days before they left. We always don't have outcomes like that. Jesus, they because of the reputation of these doctors, they were able to get that arrangement to go and see them, and the fact that they were able to do so in such short order is truly remarkable. Well, Jesus, the great physician, had something of a similar reputation. He was healing everyone, every disease that anyone could bring to him. And he had compassion on the people, and as they came, and they brought him one of those impossible conditions. They brought him a man who was deaf and who had a speech impediment, the English Standard Version says. Could not speak or spoke with great difficulty. They knew that Jesus could cure him. Someone in the crowd knew that as well, and so they brought him to Jesus, which is a lesson for us. When we have an impossible situation, such as a medical condition that seems beyond hope, or someone who is far from the love of Christ, and their situation seems impossible, even hopeless, the lesson, the first lesson and application of this passage is we are to bring them to Jesus Christ, the great physician, the great healer, the one who can restore not only physical life, much more importantly, spiritual life. I always think when I read of these incredible miracles in the Bible, I'm reminded that every one of those who were healed and cured died. The miracles were for the purpose of affirming Jesus Christ. And those things in our life that are miraculous are for the same purpose, to glorify and to exalt Him. Nonetheless, it doesn't detract from His glory. We see how He meets them. He meets them personally or privately. He deals with them personally. He takes them aside by himself. When you go to the doctor's office, you go and sit and wait. The doctor doesn't come and see you in the waiting room in front of everyone. And that's a good thing. You want to talk to the doctor privately. You want to discuss your concerns with him or her alone. You don't want an audience knowing that. And this demonstrates Jesus' concern for the individual. Jesus deals with us personally. He is so infinite. He is so great. He is so mighty. And He is so omnipresent and omniscient that He can deal with each individual personally. He longs to be in a personal relationship with each of His children. When we come to faith in Jesus Christ, it puts us in a personal relationship with Christ. with the Father and with the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes into us and we are intimately connected to God. That's how salvation works. It is a personal relationship. And that word personal, we use it, we throw it around a lot in our modern culture. And the meaning of it is somewhat lost. We tend to use it in terms of something that belongs to us, like our personal computer or our personal iPod or some personal piece of equipment. And sometimes when we use it and we talk about a personal relationship with God, we think of it in those terms. But that's not how the word should be used. When we should think of it in terms of an intimate, one-to-one relationship, just like Jesus and this sick man. This man with deafness and with the inability to speak. You can almost hear him stammer and stutter. How Jesus deals with us. Then he does five things with this man. First, he takes him off alone and deals with him privately and personally, as we've just said. Then he performs a procedure on him. It's not really a procedure. It's more of a communication. Jesus takes his fingers and he puts them in the man's ears. He's saying when he does that, I'm going to do something. Because he can't hear him. He says, I'm going to do something for your ears. Now, the English Standard Version takes the tack that Jesus spit and thinks that, you know, by spitting and then touching the man's tongue, he's saying, I'm going to do something for your voice as well. Really, the language here is similar to the language in John's Gospel, chapter 9, where Jesus spit in the dirt and took dirt and clay and put it in the man's eyes and gave him sight. So if you have a different translation, you'll see that as well. Regardless, Jesus was communicating intimately and personally with the man. That's what he does with his children. He speaks to our need. He speaks to our heart. If we listen to the Word of God, if we are tuned in to what he's saying, we know what needs to be fixed in us. Because he is telling us and he is showing us. He does that. And then he does, thirdly, what is most important. Jesus looks up to heaven. And he prays. He understands that apart from the Father, his union with the Father, apart from his union with the Holy Spirit, he can do nothing. This is where God wants us to get in our faith. To realize that apart from Jesus and what he does for us, we can do nothing. Isaiah the prophet lamented in the 64th chapter that there is no one who calls upon God, and there is no one who takes hold of him. This is what he expects of us in our time of need, that we would call upon the Lord and we would take hold of him. Jesus has prayed. The next thing he does is sigh. My wife tells me I'm a big sigher. I sigh a lot. I notice that in some people. Empathetic people sigh. Compassionate people sigh. That's who Jesus was. He empathized with this man. He looked at what sin had caused. See, sin, the cause of sickness and death is sin. The cause of spiritual sickness and death is sin. Jesus looked at what the fall of mankind had brought about in this man, the malady in his life, and he sighed because he cared so much. Do we know the emotion and the depth, the feeling of the love of Christ for those who are suffering physical illness, who are suffering personally. We understand that sickness is a result of the fall. That spiritual sickness is as well, and that we are full of sin and depravity. Jesus knows this and he sighs. And then he acts. Fifthly, he says, Epaphra, in Aramaic, in his native Nazarene tongue that he grew up speaking, be opened. And immediately the man could speak clearly and distinctly, and he could hear, and he was healed. Suddenly the one who could not hear hears, and the one who could not speak distinctly speaks distinctly. Someone who was an eyewitness to it told it to Mark, and Mark wrote it down. It's probably Peter again. This is what Jesus did. This is how he heals. And that's what how Jesus heals us. He opens our eyes spiritually to see him and understand him. He deals with us individually. He transforms our life. Then we see the reason for the miracle. We see Jesus tell the man not to tell anyone. A lot of commentators say that's because he wanted the word to really spread, that Jesus is using reverse psychology on this man. That's not what's happening. Jesus tells him not to speak, and he means what he says. It's just deliberate disobedience on the part of the man and the people. His purpose is not to do miracles of healing primarily. The miracles were for a specific purpose. Jesus' miracles were to point to him as Messiah. They were deliberate fulfillments of the Scripture. And this particular miracle was a deliberate fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 35, verse 5, that the eyes of the blind will be opened, the ears of the deaf unstopped. This miracle, as all of Jesus' miracles, pointed to him as Messiah. He is the King. He is the one who will take sins away. This was the purpose of the miracle. This is the purpose of God's intervention in our life. Miracle, by definition, is something extraordinary, unusual, which point to the glory of Jesus Christ, the Savior of sinners. That's what Jesus' miracles point to. That's what our need is. Should point to this morning. Whatever your need is, if it's a sickness of a family member, a close friend, a besetting illness, a besetting personal problem, whatever is going on, whatever need you have of healing, of restoration, it is to point you to Jesus Christ and the fact that He alone can meet that need. Realize who he is. This scripture points to that he causes the deaf to hear and the speechless to speak. And the purpose is it brings admiration and glory to Christ. They admired Christ. They glorified him. They said he has done all things well. Jesus Christ has done all things well. Just as in Genesis chapter 1, after every act of creation, it says that God saw it and he said it was good. The same language is used here about Jesus. And we know from John's Gospel chapter 1, verse 1, that Jesus is the one who brought all the creation about. And he has done all things in his creation and his redemption well. Do you know your Creator this morning? Do you know your Redeemer? Do you know the one who heals all your diseases, who meets every problem and question you have in His person? Do you know Him today? Are you trusting in Him? If not, then today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to turn your burden over and your concern and your need over to Him. And it may be you have a miraculous providential deliverance like this man did, like Joanne Persley did last week. It may be that you will not. You may be like the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, who prayed to the Lord 3 times to remove some kind of physical ailment from his body, and 3 times the Lord told him no, because my grace is sufficient for you, Paul, and my power is perfected in weakness. Listen to the Word of God. Listen to what He speaks to you today. Know that He cares. Even in the midst of the most difficult circumstances, Jesus loves returning sinners who put their faith and trust in Him and Him alone. And He heals our diseases. He fixes our biggest problems as we turn them over to Him. Let us pray. Father, we thank You for these incredible accounts of Jesus' healing ministry and what He did and how they point to Him as the Messiah, the Savior of sinners, the Savior of the world. Father, we bring our concerns to You, our hearts to You. We ask that You would meet them, our needs, at the point of their greatest concern to us. Thank You for the riches of Christ that we have. Father, we pray if anyone here is yet to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that today would be the day of salvation. We pray.